our help and our expectation is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be given unto thee, O richly multiplied from God the Father, and from Christ Jesus the Lord, in the communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen. A congregation, let us sing together. Psalter 422, stanza 8. 422, the last stanza. Remember, Lord, how frail I am, how few my years. My life is like a cloud that comes and disappears. Has man then lived in vain? Who can in death's dark hour escape the dismal grave with all its ruinous power? O Lord, recall thy love, thy words to David spoken, sustain us as of yore by covenant oaths unbroken. Stanza 8 of 422. Let us next read the law of the Lord, which you can find in Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. And thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. And thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. And thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. From Scripture we wish to read from the first book of Moses called Genesis, chapter 47, the first 10 verses. Genesis 47. Then Joseph came and told Pharaoh and said, My father and my brethren, and their flocks and their herds, and all that they have, are come out of the land of Canaan, and behold, they are in the land of Goshen. And he took some of his brethren, even 5 men, and presented them unto Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto his brethren, What is your occupation? And they said unto Pharaoh, Thy servants are shepherds, both we and also our fathers. They said moreover unto Pharaoh, For to sojourn in the land are we come, for thy servants have no pasture for their flocks, for the famine is sore in the land of Canaan. And now therefore we pray thee, let thy servants dwell in the land of Goshen. And Pharaoh spake unto Joseph, saying, thy father and thy brethren are come unto thee. The land of Egypt is before thee. In the best of the land make thy father and brethren to dwell. In the land of Goshen let them dwell. And if thou knowest any man of activity among them, then make them rulers over my cattle. And Joseph brought in Jacob his father, and set him before Pharaoh, and Jacob blessed Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto Jacob, how old art thou? And Jacob said unto Pharaoh, the days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. Few and evil have the days of the years of my life been, and have not attained unto the days of the years of the life of my fathers in the days of their pilgrimage. And Jacob blessed Pharaoh and went out from before Pharaoh. Thus far. The congregation, we wish to remember in prayer and inform the congregation that Reverend B.J. Van Boven has declined the call from our congregation. Also, Mr. Jake Hubrechtse, who suffered a massive heart attack and is in the Calgary Hospital. Mrs. Betty de Kock, who needs surgery this week. Mr. and Mrs. Evert and Gerianne van de Bruinhorst were blessed with the birth of a baby girl. Then the consistory wishes to announce the following. At the male members' meeting held Tuesday, October 16, Mr. Paul Verhoef was elected as elder and accepted this office. Lawful objections may be brought to the attention of the consistory before October 31. The first wedding announcement of Willard Evan van de Bruinhorst and Jacoba Christina Maurik, lawful objections may be brought to the attention of the consistory. There will be a combined youth group meeting this coming Saturday evening at 7:30 p.m. in Lethbridge. Elder Rose from the Netherlands hopes to present a topic on persecution. The banner of the truth is at the exit. And may we now ask the Lord for His indispensable blessing in this morning hour. Let us now try to pray. Most holy, most sovereign, all-knowing and all-sufficient Lord, we have been brought together in thy house in this morning hour, in reasonable health and well-being. But Lord, even now one had to be taken out. Thou knowest her condition. Lord, care for her. And remember her according to the body. But wilt thou especially remember her according to the soul? There is but one step between us and the grave. That is thy own testimony. But Lord, how little do we perceive it? How little do we realize it? And are by nature, there is none who is prepared to meet thee in righteousness and peace. May we then ask thee, Lord, bind that seriousness of our life upon the heart of each and every one of us, that it may please thee, Lord, to come and work yet with thy Spirit in the hearts of young and old. For the young can also die. The old surely must die. But the great question shall be, are we prepared to meet thee, our Maker? For we shall have to give an account of all that we have done and left undone here upon this earth. And hitherto thou hast preserved us all. But Lord, there have been others, who, and thou hast taken them already into eternity. There are mourners in our midst. There are those for whom the wounds are still so fresh, so sore. And there are so many who have empty places in the chair and in the bed. Sometimes empty places also in the bedroom of the children. Empty places. Lord, there are trees that have been split asunder. There are those where the limbs of the trees have been taken out. Oh, and then each one feels his own grief and his own sorrow. What a blessing it is then, if we may have grief, but not as those who have no hope. But unto that end, Lord, then we ask it again. Wilt thou truly convert us, give us a new heart to fear thee? The world passeth away and the lust thereof, and we all fly away likewise. But only he that doeth the will of thee shall endure to all eternity. Wilt thou then, Lord, remember us, the whole congregation, and strengthen and comfort widows and widowers, those who have lost parents or children, grandparents, whatever relation it may be. But wilt thou continually uphold and sanctify the callings? Maybe then also bring before thee that old husband and father, taken so suddenly to a hospital far away. Serious is his circumstance, or somewhat more stable even overnight, but even at that, Lord, it is but a frail existence. Oh, give what is needed. Help the doctors, but above all, wilt thou also give him that grace to be prepared? For he has passed the age of the very strong, and then thy word tells us it is labor and sorrow. Be also with that wife and mother who must undergo surgery. Lord, wilt thou give a blessing upon it? May it yet help her, but may it also be a stirring up that she can still seek the Lord while thou art to be found. Remember then also that family that was gladdened with the birth of a child. Oh, we see it on the one hand. One generation cometh and another one goeth. And so it shall continue as long as the moon and the sun shall stand. But in that brief time that is allotted unto us, then we must needs be born again. Lord, wilt thou visit all those that have received the time that their years were increased, especially the older ones, or that hope to commemorate that in this week. Also those whose marriages have increased and there are commemorations, Lord, the blessings are manifold. But likewise that means that the sins on our part have increased also. And so, Lord, there are many cares and many concerns. May we bring them all before Thee. There are older ones, and there are so many younger ones. Have we heard how many catechism students there are? Lord, may they now all become students at the school of Jesus. Then they would learn lessons that are profitable for eternity. And to that end, wilt thou also help and strengthen elders and deacons, and that their labors would not be in vain, that they may receive courage, that they may receive love and faithfulness, and that thou wilt give also good attention, a diligent and an observing spirit unto all the catechism students, that they may come to realize it is for eternity that they are being instructed. Lord, wilt thou then also visit the congregation with regard to the empty pulpit? A call has been declined by one of thy true and tried servants in the old country. Lord, the pillar of the cloud did not move, and so he could not move either. But wilt thou now give us to bow under it, and that it may bring us in the inner chamber, and that the need may become a need indeed. Our Lord, who is then unworthy, who is then yet one who has forfeited all things, one who has to bow under thee, but one who has to say, Lord, my poor soul needs instruction. Wilt thou yet be pleased to grant a servant in thy favor? Wilt thou yet please grant a planter of heaven and a robber of hell in our midst, and that many yet may be plucked from darkness and brought to thy marvelous light? But, Lord, there is also reason to acknowledge Thee, whereas one was chosen to take upon him that office of elder, Lord, and Thou didst give light, Thou didst make it easy, and Thou hast given him to accept that calling, that there may then be a humble thanksgiving, but also that there may be that trying to bear him up and the rest of the consistory on the wings of prayer. There is so much labor amongst all this people. And Lord, that their eyes then may be up unto thee, for the best and the most labor is then performed in the inner chamber. Wilt thou then grant, Lord, that also his service may become profitable here, but also in the group that shall be established in due time when it is thy time, Lord, There have been trials there also and discouragements. But now there may be encouragement. Oh, that their eyes may be up unto Thee, and that in Thy favor at Thy time everything may go forward. Lord, look upon each and every one of us. We are travelers to eternity. We are but short time here below. Give us then to make haste for our life's sake. The day passeth like the chaff. There are older ones also in our midst, older ones also in the home next door. But Lord, all each one is so close to eternity. Remember Thy Zion over the length and the breadth of this world. Be with Jew and Gentile, build Thy kingdom. Take also Thy care, Lord, of all Thy true and Thy tried servants. Give them that unction from on high. Wilt Thou increase that number in our midst? For the days are very evil, and we live in a declining time, with much religion, but so little of that true practice of godliness. Oh, that Thou wouldest yet have mercy upon us, Lord. There is so much that gives reason to grieve and to be concerned. Wilt Thou then also help and instruct the students? Be with the one who goes forth from Sabbath day to Sabbath day. Help and anoint and instruct him also. Be with Thy servants who are old, who are weak, who are ailing. Give yet further recovery unto one that had surgery some time ago. Lord, wilt Thou strengthen him, and grant that he may also yet do some labors, especially in the theological school as well. Lord, it is all in Thy hand alone. Remember then the lonely ones, those who are persecuted, or the sparrows that sit here and there upon the housetop, but Thou knowest all things. And our Lord, what must be then asked? Visit us with Thy salvation. Remember us according to that favor that Thou hast upon Thy people. We cannot make it. We have not deserved it. There is only reason in Thee to be found. But wilt Thou then grant, Lord, that also in this day there may be something of Thy favor evident in our midst? Oh, let there be Aaron's and let there be hers. And may it not be in vain that we labor in this day. Thou hast also granted in the week past such fair weather, whereas some weeks ago the concerns were so many that there were questions if the crops even could be harvested anymore. And lo, what hast Thou done? Thou hast given yet dry weather and warm weather, so that so much labor could be done in the week past. We ask Thee, Lord, give a humble and a thankful heart. Oh, were there any that have begged the Lord, that have sighed, if Thou wouldest yet show Thy favor in these outward matters? May we then also ask Thee to continue this weather. It is undeserved, Lord, and we ruin everything and sin it away. But oh, do look down upon the congregation this area and grant that further harvesting may take place. Oh, that is yet a token that Thy hand is not withdrawn entirely in the midst of all the declension, in the midst of all the forsaking of thee. And is that not also the case in the congregation? But Lord, oh, that now the goodness of thee in this regard would lead us to repentance. Remember us, Lord, we ask. Grant us fresh oil, as thou hast promised and supplied so many times already. Lord, thou art a faithful, a good, and a precious master. Our eyes are upon thee. Lord, remember us then in mercy and in compassion, for Jesus' sake alone. Amen. Psalter 107, the stanzas 1 through 4. Psalter 107, the stanzas 1 through 4. My end, Lord, make me know my days, how soon they fail, and to my thoughtful spirit show how weak I am and frail. 1 through 4 of 107. Now my days are swifter than a post. They flee away as the ships that see, if they flee away that as they that see no good. They are like the swift ships. They are like an eagle that hasteth to the prey. In three different images does Job speak unto us how quickly our life here below passeth away. A post is a messenger that is called to bear tidings, but he must not rest, he must run. And then there are swift ships. In the original it says they are ships of desire, because a ship that is sailing on the ocean hastens to reach the port where it shall be in safety. It also means that there is a desirable cargo in that ship, and the captain will hasten that ship if it were possible, so that cargo can be unloaded and sold for a profit. And then the eagle, as he sits on the top of the mountains, or if he circles in the air abroad, hungry, looking for a prey, and when his eye has fastened upon one, oh, then as an arrow he flies down. Now, says Job, that is how our days are like. Actually, our days are swifter than that post, and swifter than the swift ships, and than the eagle that hasteth to the prey. Is it not true? Must we not all agree that our life passeth away as a shadow? What did we sing with Ethan the poet? My life is like a cloud that comes and disappears. And what is now a cloud? You see it coming from a chimney and it vanishes away. A cloud may be large and dark and bulging, but then the sun comes and the wind blows and it has disappeared again. Have we learned that our life is brief? I mean, have we learned it to our profit? Has it been a useful lesson unto us to realize that here below our life is but short? Whether we are strong or whether we are weak, whether we are old or whether we are young, whether we are sickly or whether we are very healthy, our life is but a handbreadth and it is no more of you and of me. It shall one time be written, as you find so often in Genesis 5, and he died. Oh, young and old, have we learned that lesson to our profit? And what is then that profit that we ought to learn? With the Lord's help, we wish to speak a little about that in this morning hour. And you can find the words of our text in Genesis 47, the verses 8 and 9. Genesis 47, the verses 8 and 9. And Pharaoh said unto Jacob, how old art thou? And Jacob said unto Pharaoh, the days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. Few and evil have the days of the years of my life been, and have not attained unto the days of the years of the life of my fathers in the days of their pilgrimage. Thus far, we find in the text a common question and an uncommon answer. A common question and an uncommon answer. And so first we consider Pharaoh's question, and next Jacob's answer. Our chapter is from the end of the first book of the Bible called Genesis. And in these final chapters, Moses describes the life of the patriarch Jacob. But also, there are many chapters written about one of Jacob's sons, Joseph. And especially the history of that father and son are intertwined in these final chapters. We know that Jacob had 12 sons and one daughter. But one of the sons was the one whom Jacob loved especially. In congregation, that is not that we should have preferences. But there was such a difference between Joseph and the 11 other brothers. Those 11 walked in the ways of sin. Or there may have been some outward religion at best. But Joseph was a youth who feared the Lord in tenderness and in uprightness of heart. But then, when Joseph was 17 years old and had been sent on an errand by his father to visit his brethren, taking care of the flocks, he had vanished. There was no trace left of him except that coat of many colors, smeared with blood. And the brothers said unto their father, "A wild animal must have taken him, must have torn him." And meanwhile, what had they done? They had captured their brother, and they had sold him as a slave to the Midianites, who would then take him into Egypt, because they wanted to be rid of him. Yet, the Lord's hand was in it, though Joseph did not understand it. But we read that the Lord preserved him, even in the prison house, because the Lord wanted to use him to save much people alive, even his own father, his brethren, and all that family. And congregation, and now in the chapter that we have before us, it is evident that Joseph was alive, but not as a slave, but he was the governor of all the land of Egypt. And now Jacob and the brethren and all their flocks have come to Egypt, and Joseph gave them a place in the land of Goshen where there were many pastures. And in the chapter that was read, we see that Joseph takes 5 of his brethren and brings them unto Pharaoh, for they ask, they desire, if they can stay a while, not settle, but stay a while in that land of Egypt. And you notice that that Pharaoh asks, "What is your occupation?" And they said, "Thy servants are shepherds, both we and our fathers." And Pharaoh gives them permission. He receives them kindly. He said, "The land of Egypt is before thee, and you can also help to take care among of my flocks." But then we come closer to the text. And what do we read in verse 7? "And Joseph brought in Jacob his father and set him before Pharaoh." What a sight that must have been. That old patriarch with his son Joseph, and Joseph at that time was 39 years old. but he was the ruler of Egypt. He was the governor on behalf of Pharaoh. And now they enter that palace, that stately home that glittered with gold and silver and many costly jewels. And they come before Pharaoh as he's sitting so stately upon his throne. And there he stands. And what do we read then? And Jacob blessed Pharaoh. That is a greeting. He shows respect. He acknowledges Pharaoh for the kind welcome, for the reception, that they may dwell in the land of Goshen. It is true. But there is more. Jacob blessed Pharaoh. Jacob stands here as the patriarch, as the leader of that family. He stands there as a prophet of the Lord. And what does Jacob now do in blessing Pharaoh? Oh, he sends up a prayer unto the Lord if he will bless Pharaoh. If his countenance would show favor upon that Egyptian ruler, you can be sure, congregation, that from the mouth and from the heart of Jacob flowed a petition if the Lord would give mercy unto a Pharaoh. Jacob blessed a Pharaoh. And congregation, that is proper. That is so right. Because we must remember those that are in authority above us, even when they rule to our hurt. And then we should even more call upon the Lord to convert them and to bring them in the right way. But we should also acknowledge if there is anything good that is done, and then pray for them. And see, that prayer which Jacob sent up in that palace made deep impression upon Pharaoh. He realized that this was not an ordinary old man and not just an ordinary greeting. And congregation, that becomes evident. Because Pharaoh said unto Jacob, "How old art thou?" Literally, he says, "How many are the days of the years of thy life?" Oh, Pharaoh is a keen observer. He pays attention to the people that stand before him. Because when Joseph's brethren came, he asked about their occupation. They were men in the strength of their life. But that is not what he asked Jacob. No. Jacob's strength had withered. His working days were past. And so he asks him another question. How old art thou? And that is not such a strange question to us, is it? It is a question that we are so familiar with. Oh, how many of the children do not hear or even ask that question, "How old are you?" And we hear that question when you meet people. You hear that question when they are sick. Or when they are passing away, how old is or was that a person? How old art thou? Or perhaps Pharaoh had never seen anyone so old and so grave. How old art thou? And it is the father of Joseph, his governor. So he has a keen interest in that old Jacob standing before him. And if that question comes to you, or comes to me, then most likely we know the answer, do we not? Then you can say, I am so many years old. And you ask that of little children. Oh, and then they are often glad to say how old they are. And they wait for their next birthday. They want to become older. And when people become older, sometimes they do not wish to say how old they are. As if that can help us. Because every day we grow older still. And the years keep on multiplying. Oh, how old art thou? Congregation, that common question is a question that should bring us to the Lord. That is a question that should make us look back. Because if I am 10 or 50 or 90 years old, then we look back. And we say, that is how many years I have lived since my birth. But if you give an answer to that question, how old art thou? It is also to look forward. Because if the years behind you increase, it means the years or the months or the days or the hours before you are decreasing. That number is also diminishing. Do we then realize, congregation, with that question, how old art thou? That now we live in that fleeting present, and that we fly away, says Moses in Psalm 90, and that we hasten through our life. Congregation, how old art thou? As another lesson in that question. Because if I have lived 20 years, or 40 years, or more, then all those years and all those days have been filled with sin. The debt which we owe unto the Lord only multiplies every day and every hour that we live. Oh, the guilt that we carry increases, whether we realize it or not, whether we want to acknowledge it or not. But the truth of that is still the same. And now in that time of life, how old art thou? In that time of life, has grace intervened in your heart? Has the Lord shown unto you saving mercy? For that is the only thing that shall count when we will have to die. Congregation, then can you tell what has happened, what the Lord has done in the days, in the weeks, in the years of life that have passed by? And now that was precisely what Jacob was privileged to do. And so we come to that answer which Jacob gives. But alas, we must fear that it is an uncommon answer, that most do not know how to give that answer. But there is a remnant still that knows what that answer is and how they have learned it. What does Jacob say? And Jacob said unto Pharaoh, the days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. Notice first, he does not use the exact same language as Pharaoh. No. What does Pharaoh say? How old art thou? And in the original, remember, that was, how many are the days of the years of thy life? But Jacob begins in the same fashion, the days of the years of my pilgrimage. That is what he says. So he says, years? How many years old? No. I am so many days old. And the days string together to years. But Jacob had learned by grace that he could not count on another year. Really, he had to learn that he must live day by day. And no further could he go. Oh, I know. Each day continued, and then it strung on to another year. And Jacob himself had become 130 years already. But Jacob is saying that was now day by day by day. And the end of the beginning of Jacob's answer is not the same as Pharaoh, because he said, how many are the days of the years of thy life? Jacob says, the days of the years of my pilgrimage are so many. So how did Jacob regard his life? His life was a pilgrimage. His life was a journey. He was not at home here below. Oh, it was true. Many times in Jacob's life, he had to travel hither and yon. And if he lived here for a while, then he received commandment to go yet to another portion of the land where he had to dwell. In other words, he had to travel like a stranger. He could not settle anywhere permanently. Do you know what that meant for Jacob? And it is a blessing. If that is the case for us, Jacob was not at home here below. Jacob was not at home here in this world. He was a pilgrim. That means he was seeking, he was traveling to another country. He was traveling unto a better country, and he had not yet reached that land. We know how it was in the life of Jacob, born of Isaac and Rebekah together with Esau. He lived in the land of Canaan for many years. But then there came a time that Esau was ready to slay him. And so Jacob had to flee, and he had to go to Paddan Aram. And there he lived for 20 years. And then after 20 years, the Lord said, now you have to go back to the land of your fathers. You must not stay there in Paddan Aram anymore. Go back. And he went back. And he settled at Shechem first and later on at Succoth. And then we find him in Hebron. And his son Joseph disappeared, and the famine came in the land. And now he had to go unto Egypt. You see, it was literally true. In the life of Jacob, the days of the years of my pilgrimage, he was a stranger here below. But it was spiritually the case with this old patriarch. And congregation, how is that in your life? Are there still strangers? Are there still pilgrims here in southern Alberta? Are there pilgrims here in church this morning? That does not happen by its own accord. No. Then the Lord opens our eyes. And then He begins to show us that here below we will not always stay. That death is inevitably coming closer, and that all the things of sense and of time are vanity, vexation of spirit. Oh, when the Lord makes us a pilgrim, then the world loses its luster. Then there is nothing truly pleasing or attractive anymore. The things that were your delight then become even a burden. Not to be careless or irresponsible in this life, not to become slothful in this life. But then you realize, my life is like a cloud that comes and disappears. Ah, congregation, have you become a pilgrim already? That here below you are so strange. That you realize that there must be another place, that there is a better country, that there is another fatherland where alone a soul can truly be happy. And so you realize you cannot, and neither do you want to stay here always. And then that journeying begins. And that means here below I have no lasting inheritance. My inheritance that is above. And it fadeth not away. It is incorruptible. And it endures forever. Then my treasures are not here below. But then my treasure is also in heaven. Then my longing is for a home. In the mansion with the Father, to have an abode, a place with God in heaven alone. You know what it is then in your life? What we have sung from Psalm 100, from Psalm 39, I am a stranger here, dependent on thy grace, a pilgrim as my fathers were, with no abiding place. Oh, then you begin to be a seeker of a fatherland that is a better fatherland, even though you hardly know the way. Even though you feel that the Lord alone can lead you. But here below, that is empty. Then it is like Christian. He fled from that city of destruction and he put his fingers in his ears because he wanted to seek that life, though he did not know how to come to that celestial city. All God's children become pilgrims. You hear David in Psalm 119. I am a stranger here. The same word. I am a stranger here. Hide not thy commandments from me. For those commandments have to guide me. And they are my delight. Oh, thy statutes, those commandments, have been my songs in the days of my pilgrimage. Come. Are there those strangers and pilgrims here in the congregation? You know what David meant to say by that expression? The days of the years of my pilgrimage, O Pharaoh, you live in a palace. And you have much gold and silver. You receive honor and you receive respect. You sit upon a throne, and you have a mighty kingdom, and you have a large host. But Pharaoh, all these things are transient. They flee away. They do not last. Oh, you know what the lesson is for you and for me, congregation. That we must not sit so tight in this world. We must sit loose here below. It is much better to be a pilgrim with a future, with a better country that is still awaiting for us. Ah, congregation, of the earth we are so earthy, and it is only grace that can make a difference. But Jacob, when he was 130 years old, he makes this confession unto Pharaoh, the days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. Congregation, what does Jacob now say about those years? He says, few and evil have the days of the years of my life been. Few and evil.
Is Jacob now complaining? Is he now murmuring? Is he now saying to Pharaoh, my days, my years are so short? And he says they are evil. Jacob, should you not recommend unto Pharaoh that the service of the Lord is good? Have you now nothing to tell about the mercies of the Lord? Can you not tell him about the deliverances in your life? The benefits which the Lord has granted you? The favor that he has shown upon you? Is this all that you can say? Few and evil are the years, are the days of the years of my life. Congregation, we must not be hasty. We have to listen to those wise lessons from this old pilgrim. He calls the days of the years of his pilgrimage few. And why? Isaac, his father, was not 130, he was 180. And Abram became 175. And Terah, Abram's father, was 205. So when Jacob speaks, few have been the days of the years of my life, he spoke truth. But especially, Jacob means what is now 130 years in the light of eternity. What does Moses say in Psalm 90? If we are strong 70 years, and if we are very strong 80 years, but then it is labor and sorrow. And are there not many here that must experience the same? I buried a man of 100 years old this past week. He was strong, never medicine, never sick for a day, but 100 years old, and he died, not without hope, but he died. And congregation, what is now 100 years? What is now 969 years as Methuselah reached? What are those years in the light of eternity? The days come and the days go. And they string together, and soon they glide into many, many years. But if you look back, ask older people, ask Jacob, 130 years, they are but a few days. Oh, there are many here, young children, young people. What does David now say in Psalm 34? Ye children, come and hear my voice. And learn to make God's fear your choice. He who would live long and have happy days should walk, should learn to walk in wisdom's ways. If you want to become old, if you want to have happy days, young and old, our congregation, there is only one way. And that is recommended by David, walk in wisdom's ways. But even if he becomes so old, still it shall be, and he died. And therefore few, yes, few are the days of the years of my life, says Jacob, and they have been evil. He says, my entire life has been filled with sorrow, with toil, with troubles, afflictions, with miseries and difficulties. And in certain ways more so than Abram and more so than Isaac. Esau sought the life of his brother and was ready to slay him at the earliest opportunity. So Jacob had to leave, and he took but a small bottle of oil along, and for the rest he had nothing. Evil, yes. And how hard it was when he stayed by Laban, because he worked 7 years and 7 years and he had 2 wives. And then for 6 years he worked for cattle, and every time again, with all the hardships,
suffering the cold and the heat, and restoring unto Laban everything that was slain from the wild animals or stolen. But time and again, his wages were changed. And then he had to come back. And then first Laban pursued him again. And he came back and he dwelt in Shechem. And then Dinah, his daughter, what a grief to her old father, went to see the daughters of the land. Evil were my days. Not a godly girl. She ended up being defiled. Sin is bitter. And then two of his sons, Simeon and Levi, deceived the men of Shechem so that Jacob had to leave there. He says, my name has become a stink in the nostrils of the people here. And he went to Ephratah. And then he had to bury his beloved Rachel. He went to Hebron. And then he lost Jacob. And then all these things, he said, are against me. And now there was famine. Can you understand that Jacob had cause to say, few and evil have been those days? The congregation, we must look deeper. What made all the affliction so bitter unto Jacob? You know what? His own life came back. His own life came back. What had he done? He had deceived his old blind father Isaac to try and obtain the blessing of the firstborn. Deceiving his father to obtain God's blessing. Is it not awful? And before that he had tried to purchase that blessing with giving a pottage of lentils to Esau, his brother. God's children do not sin cheaply. Because when Jacob was deceived in his wives first of all, and then every time that Laban tried to swindle him out of the wages that he had been promised, then he had to realize, it is my own deceit that comes back. And you see that also at the time that he was in Shechem. And his own sons deceived him again in the case of Joseph. Congregation, God's children learn that the bitterness of their affliction is because of their own sin. You say, but had Jacob not received any blessings? Had he not received great benefits from the Lord? Most certainly. When he was fleeing away from the altar, in the darkness, there at Bethel, the Lord opened the heavens and revealed unto him that ladder. The person of the promised Savior was revealed unto him. And then, all those years he was kept and sustained by the Lord. He was protected at Mahanaim. And then he comes to Peniel. We touch upon it. Cannot enter into detail. But his sins were forgiven. And all his iniquity taken away. He received a place with God. And he knew that the Lord was his God and his inheritance. And still, you see how Jacob leaves Peniel, halting. And that becomes the life of that people of God, no matter how many benefits they have received. Still evil, and still few are his days, because they have to be kept low. And the Lord has his ways and his means to do that. I mentioned already when Joseph was gone. And then later on, then Simeon was gone. And then also Benjamin would have to go. He says, all these things are against me. No, Jacob, they are for you. They are in your favor. But Jacob did not see that at this time. That was only later that he learned that lesson.
And he says, not only few and evil have the days of the years of my life been. He says, they have not attained unto the days of the years of the life of my fathers in the days of their pilgrimage. Again, is Jacob murmuring? Is he envious that Terah and Abraham and Isaac all became older than he did? No, that is not what Jacob is saying. You know what he means to say? He says Abraham and Isaac had a longer pilgrimage already, and then it ended. And my pilgrimage is not as long as Abram's and as Isaac's. My pilgrimage still continues from step to step and from day to day. Oh, and that is determined by the Lord. I cannot shorten the days of the life of the years of my pilgrimage anymore. If I have to walk as long as Isaac, my father, I have 50 more years to go in that pilgrimage. It is not that he said, I desire to attain to the years of the life, the days of the years of the life of my father's pilgrimage. No. But he says their journey has ended, and mine has not yet ended. Few and evil. And he knew that this would not get any better. But do you know what is now contained in that statement of Jacob? They have not attained unto the days of the years of the life of the pilgrimage of my fathers. Theirs was ended. Am I shall be ended. That was the hope. That was the expectation. That is what Jacob was waiting for. That was he was hoping for. Ah, are there now pilgrims here? I don't think there is anyone that is 130 years old. You may feel the weight of your age, that is true. But still all the pilgrims experience the days of the years of that pilgrimage are few and they are evil. But then I shall encourage you that pilgrimage shall come to an end. It shall be over at the appointed time of God. Oh, and then you do no longer desire to stay here. Then there is a desire to go to a heavenly Canaan. Then you desire to come to that moment that the Lord shall bring you home in that pilgrimage, that He shall bring you home in that abode where He is forevermore. Young and old, are you a pilgrim or are you not? I can also ask it this way. Do you have the God of Jacob as your portion? Happy is such a man. Shall we sing it? 400:2-3. Put no confidence in princes, nor for help on man depend. He shall die to dust returning, and his purposes shall end. Happy is the man that chooses Israel's, Jacob's God to be his aid. He is blessed whose hope of blessing on the Lord his God is stayed. 2 and 3 of Psalter 400.
In the life of Jacob, there were so many riddles. He had so many questions that he could not answer. So many things he did not understand. Why did Joseph have to be taken away? Why did I have to lose my beloved Rachel? Why the famine? Why this? And why that? Congregation, God's people have to receive light upon every way and upon every circumstance, because they do not know unless the Lord clears it up for them. But when the light shines from heaven, then they understand and they see the Lord's wisdom, the Lord's mercy, and the Lord's faithfulness unto them. And so it is with the pilgrims today, even as it was with the pilgrims in the times of Jacob. Because from Hebrews 11, there is a little light that shines upon the path of the pilgrims even nowadays. What do you read there? Abram sojourned in the land of promise. And also Isaac and Jacob sojourned in that land of promise. But they did not own any peace in that land except their grave. And congregation, they were seeking a country. They were not looking for that earthly Canaan. And that is the lesson that those pilgrims today have to learn as well. And then it is so remarkable that Paul writes in Hebrews 11 that God was not ashamed to be called their God, for He prepared for them a city. Oh, He gave Canaan later on in possession. But that is fleeting away, that does not count. It is that heavenly Canaan, the Lord prepared for them a city. And see then, Isaac and Abram with Jacob were pilgrims going to that city. You say, is that not a wonder that God was not ashamed of them? Oh, look at Jacob. He had given the Lord hosts of reasons that the Lord should be ashamed of them and that He would do away. But the Lord was not ashamed of Jacob either. Why not? Why not? Deep down, the reason lies in that sovereign good pleasure of God alone. You say, but how can that good pleasure now be carried out? It prospers in the hand of Him whose blessed name is Emmanuel. And He is the one that came from heaven. And He left that palace above. And He came to this earth as a stranger and as a pilgrim. Oh, did He not have to experience that He was but a sojourner here? Was there a place for Him in Bethlehem? Oh, then He even had to be born in a stable. Could He then stay in Bethlehem? Oh, then it became so true. Few and evil were the days of the years of His pilgrimage. He went to Egypt and later on to Nazareth. Oh, was it not true that the days of the years of His pilgrimage were few? 33 years. But it was enough, because in those years He accomplished all the labors that the Lord had given unto Him. All evil were the days, for the foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, and the Son of Man hath not where to lay His head. Even upon that cross, He had no place where to lay His head. Step by step, He took that pilgrimage in those 33 years. And He never wavered, but He was steadfast. And He entered further, He entered deeper. more and more into that suffering. And there you see him walking into Gethsemane, kneeling down, falling as a worm in the dust. You see him going forward to these soldiers. If ye seek me, let these go their way. And he was bound. He stood before the Sanhedrin. And you see him there standing. Oh, how evil were those days. As he was spit upon and he was buffeted. He was derided and he was mocked. He was innocently condemned because he was the Son of God. He was mocked and scourged by the soldiers. But congregation, even though he descended into hell, it was at the time that he said, "It is finished." And then all his evil life here below, those evil days, I should say, they had come to an end because he had accomplished his Father's will and he had done all his good pleasure. And so he ascended into the heavens above. And what promise did he leave with his pilgrims here below? "I go to prepare a place for you. In the house of my Father are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." Oh, and then for that pilgrim people here below, Jerusalem is their happy home. And they say, "When shall I enter there?" That Jerusalem that is above is the place where they long to depart unto. For to be with Christ is far better. Oh, then that is a hope that shall never be ashamed. But as long as the pilgrims here below must travel, they must seek to do the Lord's will. And a pilgrim does not build a mansion here below, a tent, a tabernacle, because he is on his journey. But congregation, then here below the days may be evil and they may be few pilgrims. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. For that greater pilgrim, the Lord Jesus Christ, has overcome the world. And he has made ready that mansion and he is waiting for his people. He is longing for his people there. Oh, then be of good cheer. And by times that you may be given to sing here in the beginning, and one time forevermore, "O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, be thou our God while these troubles last, and our eternal home." Amen. Merciful and gracious Lord, make us jealous of the portion of a pilgrim as Jacob. And Lord, if we are not pilgrims, make us pilgrims. And show that our life is short and fleeting away. May young and old then be allured unto thy service. Use thy word and spirit. Lord, forgive our shortcomings. And may we bring everyone to thy throne of grace, also those that listen along. And bless us from on high. Help us in this afternoon in a neighboring congregation. And help us also in this evening and bring us together for Jesus' sake. Amen. 247. The stanzas 4, 5, and 6. 247. 1,000 ages in thy sight are like an evening gone, as short as the watch that ends the night before the rising sun. 4, 5, and 6 of 247. shall depart in peace, I receive the blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.